just slightly on a different sort of line here. Can the rapid, this is a question, can the rapid formation of core beds, oil and natural gas, assist in removing much of the heat produced during the global flood? This is that old question about, you know, the heat problem, the accelerated radioactive decay and whatever.
Yeah. You'll find that all chemical reactions either give off heat or they absorb heat, or the structures produced themselves will take up the heat and convert it either into pressure or they'll convert it into movement. So despite the claim that the world would have got too hot, this is in the ignorance, not the absence, but in the ignorance of other mechanisms that can convert heat into other things. Now, you ought to be able to remember from primary school where your brother would get you. You poor, innocent young girl with long pigtails, he'd get your hand and he'd do a Chinese rope burn. Now, all he's doing is actually moving his hand around you, but that movement translates into heat. Now, you haven't destroyed the arm, you haven't done anything, but you've actually removed energy. And you'll find the same sort of mechanisms, not just the heat itself, but the heat converts into all sorts of other things, chemical reactions, exothermic, endothermic, movement of rocks, etc. We actually watched one day a dike form as the water underneath our stratosphere just took off for reasons unknown to us, straight up through the sediments above. Now, that represents energy, represents movement, but it was all happening in the liquid itself, and it produced this massive structure that we would have said, that's a sedimentary dike. Must have been, yes, all of the theories went out the window.
And we know from experiments, John, that have been done by the CSIRO on oil formation, and many others have done experiments on coal as well, that it takes roughly 350 to 400 degrees Celsius to actually create that oil. So, yeah, so the formation of the oil.
Can I interrupt you there?
Yep.
What they're doing there is taking the organic chemist and making oil the way he does, right? Now, if you do what we've done, you simply, like we've run lots of experiments. You'll see some of them listed on our website, in which you actually take what's actually in the real world. So that if I go and I look at a coal field, which is my special area of interest, I find that the best quality coal, and I gave a paper on this to the Sydney Coal Basin Conference, right? Because our best coal has a certain percentage of high-grade kaolin, fine microscopic clay scattered throughout it. You see, if you get too much clay, the coal, it ruins your sort of burning equipment you want to put in it. But if you actually have this stuff microscopically spread through it, it acts as a catalyst and it gets to coal without even being heat. You say, how do you know that? The answer is we use clay in pottery. And clay is used because it has one interesting property. As you cook it higher and higher, you know, that soft white clay, all of a sudden it goes hard. And you can put it on the side and leave it, and it won't go back to being soft. So clay has an irreversible structure change as you raise the temperature. Now, the case of the clay that's in the coal, it's about 200 degrees. So I'll be brutally blunt. The clay that's in the coal tells us it has never been as hot as all the local flood experts want it to produce this vast amount of heat. It's a catalyzed reaction. And the same is true for the oil and the gas. We have made all three using simple clay experiments with no temperature emissions of any great significance at all.
I hope you enjoyed this video. Please make sure to hit that like button. It really does help. And subscribe if you enjoyed the content and want to see more. And find more of us on our main channel on Team Standing for Truth. This is Matt Mann. Until next time.